Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
We were talking about ADHD in the programme yesterday and getting a diagnosis in later life and what's involved with that. Barrister and CEO of Neurodiversity Ireland, Nessa Hill, is with me here on Lunchtime Live today. Nessa, thanks for joining us. Can you tell us a little bit about your own diagnosis and when you got that?
Yeah, thanks for having me this lunchtime. I was identified about 2 years ago or 3 years ago now. It was quite a difficult process to actually find somebody who had an availability, didn't have an overly long waiting list, and who was able to prescribe medication at the end of it. I think the problem here that many women face is that there's no public pathway to identification for ADHD, and getting a private assessment is really expensive. So a lot of the time you have to wait, both with the waiting times and also obviously to save up the money that's needed to access the identification.
Mm. How has that diagnosis changed your day-to-day living, day-to-day life, Nessa?
Well, obviously, first of all, there's medication. So I've been, I was identified, I've been trying different medicines to see if any of them will help, and I'm still on that kind of medication trial journey.
Yeah.
The other part would be, probably more importantly, is the kind of self-understanding that comes with an identification, because, you know, you can go through 40 years of life without really understanding why you think a certain way, or why you do certain things, or why things happen that, you know, you don't really want to happen. And probably most of the time people look for an identification, it's because there's a challenge, there's a struggle, something is really not working in their life and they really need help with it. So I don't know anybody that sought an identification, you know, because they thought it would be an interesting or fun thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, usually it comes about because there's a real problem. And a lot of the time it arises, I think, for people who are going through perimenopause or menopause, and there's that hormonal change that makes, you know, life even more challenging. So I think, yeah, the biggest problem that we would find is that there's a lack of kind of an overall public pathway, and you know, that feeds into the lack of any kind of structured plan for women's health in Ireland. You know, because there are so many additional factors that come with being neurodivergent, being ADHD, you know, that impact, such as hypermobility, and we have absolutely no care for that in Ireland. You'd have to go to a consultant in the UK to have that looked after. So, yeah.
Did you suspect over the years that maybe even from your own perhaps signs or symptoms, did you suspect that it could be ADHD?
Yeah, well, my kind of process came about when my daughter was identified as ADHD, and when I was filling out those forms, which are, you know, mostly based on research that's performed on little boys. The forms even made me think, like, oh my goodness, these forms are describing me. You know, they're describing me when I was a child, but they're also then describing things that I still do, you know, and that you'd kill yourself for. You really would kick yourself for doing the things that you do when you have an ADHD brain. So that kind of started my, you know, questioning. And then I did research to try and find out, you know, was there anybody that I could actually get an identification with in Ireland, and this is pre-COVID. So it turned out to be really difficult. And I saw a doctor in England on Zoom at that time during COVID. And then since then, I've been working with my GP in relation to medication. And I know that some places have opened up privately to undertake assessments, but really there is no current public pathway. And many people do, when their children are being identified, they will, you know, reflect on themselves and think, well, that's clearly me as well too. And that really gives them pause, you know, to think, well, it's my, you know, my child is like this, it's, you know, quite likely that, you know, it comes from me, you know.
It's funny, we were talking about this on the show yesterday, Nessa, and remarkable the number of texts we got from people who with a very similar story to you, you know, in that maybe their own son or daughter was now going through the process of getting an ADHD diagnosis, and then they, the parent, ultimately, you know, ended up figuring out or realising or going through their own diagnostic pathway, discovering that they too had ADHD. Stay with us, Nessa, for a moment, because Dr. Sarah Carty from ADHD Doc is with me here in studio as well today. Is that how, you know, a large proportion of people end up ultimately finding out that they have ADHD, Sarah?
Yeah, I think so. I suppose NASA's story is very, very typical. And as a GP of over 20 years, I suppose that's one of the ways that I became very kind of interested in the area. Adults were coming in and they were saying, you know, that they had filled out the Connors form, which is the parent part for their children, or they had found school reports of their own while looking for, you know, ones for their children. And they were exactly the same. They were like, jeepers, this was me, you know, cardboard cut out as well in school. And what can I do now? It's like I've had this light bulb moment. I now recognize this. Oh my goodness, here's the explanation. And where do I go? And as a GP, you know, you're saying, well, actually, I'm not sure. I don't know where you can go. Now, there is a public service, actually. It's called ADAPT, and it's been developed by the HSE. And there are, I think, 13 locations in Ireland at the moment, certainly. There are, you know, centres in Cork, Limerick, Dublin.
Well, how are waiting lists for those?
I was just going to say, you know, so the waiting list is huge.
So this is why a lot of people like Ness are having to go private then?
Yeah, exactly.
For diagnostics.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Is it the case then that women are less likely to be diagnosed with ADHD? Is it that they go, like, is that the case that it just happens? It's not that less women have ADHD, but that they're less likely to be diagnosed with it, leaving it to later life?
Yeah, so I guess it's three times more likely that a boy, a young boy, would be diagnosed with ADHD than a young girl. And that's mostly because girls will often not be as disruptive. It's not that they don't also have hyperactive impulsive ADHD, they can, but more likely, they're three times more likely to have the inattentive form of ADHD. And that is the quiet daydreamer looking out the window, not really involved in what's going on, could be standing at the back of a group of friends. The conversation is very quick and people are reacting and they're very quiet. They're not the behaviour. So ADHD is often diagnosed based on a behavioural observation. And that's because, of course, it's all related to research. So it's what you can see. And with girls, it's not always possible to see a behavior, because a lot of the restlessness, a lot of the hyperactivity is internal. So girls are much more likely to be diagnosed with an internalizing mood disorder like anxiety, for example, rather than ADHD. However, that 3-to-1 ratio changes to 1-to-1 in adulthood. So women and men are diagnosed as often as each other. So you can see then, obviously in adulthood, there will be a much greater catch-up of women realised. Exactly.
What about, Nessa mentioned it as well, and this is one of the things we discovered in a lot of the messages yesterday, Sarah, from listeners who maybe have an ADHD diagnosis. The impact of that on women when they're perimenopausal, like, how does that affect women?
Huge. It has a massive impact. And we are only starting to understand that. And it's absolutely crucial that psychiatrists also understand the hormonal impact that perimenopause will have. We know that estrogen is a hormone, but it behaves like a neurotransmitter. It protects things like our bones. We know it protects our heart, but it also protects our brain. And in perimenopause, you will have not only reductions, but you'll have massive fluctuations of your levels of estrogen on a daily, even an hourly basis. That's why it's not possible to, you know, check estrogen levels in the brain. But we know that this happens. And that has a massive effect on mood, on anxiety, so many different things. But it behaves like dopamine does. And if we, you know, carry on that extrapolation that dopamine is the primary neurotransmitter, you're basically twice low. So you're low in dopamine because you have ADHD, but also low because you're now perimenopausal. So it's the time where, you know, the wheels really fall off the cart.
So this is where the medication then obviously comes in and benefits.
it can help very much. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And as you
along with HRT, you know, and other agents.
Yeah.
But HRT and ADHD medication together is really life changing for people around the perimenopause.
And Nessa, you mentioned, like, you know, it can take even some time, I suppose, to find the right medication to work for a person.
Yeah, 100%. And that's the same for children as well too, but for adults probably also even more, particularly for women. I would echo that the HRT is a huge factor in stabilising, you know, even just daily mood and daily life. And the current, I suppose, lack of access to a public pathway means that that's really inaccessible for so many women. Another point that I would mention, in addition to the waiting times, I was on that waiting list for ADEPT since 2023 and haven't moved, but also was told that when you're identified as autistic, you have to come off that pathway for ADHD diagnosis and treatment. So there are lots of barriers, you know, to women getting the support that they need, in particular.
Listeners got in touch, Sarah, to make the point that my ADHD diagnosis only came after my second child was born. I felt totally overwhelmed at that time. Listeners wondering, please ask your guests, what are the typical symptoms of ADHD in adults?
Would you like me to answer?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in adults, often, you know, we diagnose ADHD using 9 criteria for hyperactivity and impulsivity and 9 for inattention. And things like having difficulty getting started on tasks, having difficulty maintaining concentration for something that may be important, but it can be maybe a bit mundane or tedious, for example. It is a very poorly named condition. I always say that. It's not that you have a deficit of attention. You actually just can't regulate your attention. So you can have periods where you can hyper-focus on something that's really, really interesting. And people will say, you know, they nearly forget to go to the toilet. They'll forget to drink. They'll forget to eat because they're so interested. They're down rabbit holes, you know, really looking for important information about something. And then, but the problem with that is, so it may sometimes look like you can do it in this situation, but you can't in another. And so it is also very tidal ADHD.
Okay. And another interesting text from this listener who says, are there certain professions where people end up in because of their ADHD traits? Typically, my daughter has a diagnosis and I'd love to share some of the success stories of people who really succeeded in their careers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are many careers that suit people with ADHD very much. Certainly, places like that offer kind of crisis services, so emergency departments, fire services. Also, you know, being outdoors, so farmers, and they're also very entrepreneurial. There are huge positives because this is a difference. It's not a disorder. It is a way of being in the world. However, it can be very, very challenging if it is not recognized and not understood properly, because as Nessa said, you know, you end up kind of blaming yourself, thinking you're lazy, thinking you're, you know, not
smart. Very real impact of this on people, and particularly I think only discovering it in later life. Neurodiversity Ireland, Nessa, that's where people can get, I assume, more information if they'd like to get in touch.
Yeah, exactly. We think that, you know, people who are ADHD can do anything if they're properly supported, and that does mean recognition from an earlier age, and the understanding that comes with an identification is really the key to people succeeding, you know, and that's succeeding at whatever they choose to do. I mean, as Sarah says, the benefits that come with ADHD can be the ability to hyper-focus, intense levels of empathy, you know, the skill in a crisis, all of those things that are really positive. And if the challenges are supported from an early age, we say that, you know, you can be anything that you want.
Whatever you want. Nessa Hill, CEO of Neurodiversity Ireland, and Dr. Sarah Carty, ADHD doc. Thanks a million to you both for joining us here on Lunchtime Live this afternoon.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.